Welcome to Startup Vietnam, Episode 10. I'm your host, Michael Claro. Today we're talking to Chris Krupa from SEMD Solutions. SEMD Solutions is a consulting company that supports organizations by increasing effectiveness, alignment, leadership, and team enablement by following agile values and principles. Founded in 2012, SEMD Solutions has been supporting organizations in Vietnam, Malaysia, Hong Kong, Switzerland, and the U.S. with training, consulting, mentoring, and coaching to achieve better outcomes with agility. Just a reminder, Startup Vietnam is brought to you by Chiquindo. Chiquindo is Southeast Asia's leading market entry company with access to over 8 different countries in Asia. To find out more about Chiquindo, visit chiquindo.vn. That's C-E-K-I-N-D-O.vn. Okay, I'm here with Chris Krupa from SEMD Solutions. Chris, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Michael. Nice to meet you. Well, nice to meet you.
So, Chris, can we start? Can you maybe tell the audience a little bit about SEMD Solutions and what you do?
Sure. So, my name is Chris Krupa. I'm originally from Germany. And I founded SEMD Solutions in 2013. And we are helping organizations to navigate through uncertain times by using the agile mindset, the agile way of thinking, and increasing resilience if organizations are kind of like impacted by situations like right now. So we started in 2012, and we kind of like constantly inspected, adapted to ourselves. In 2012 to 2014, there was not really a market for the business yet. Right. So agile, the Agile Manifesto was created 2001. The first Agile conference in Vietnam, which I co-organized, was 2009, I think, or 2010. Right. So that means by 2012, 13, there were not many businesses around. We did help some team development there, but I think by 2014 or 15, we had our first real full-time customer on Agile, with whom we worked then for 2 years. And 18, then we actually flew also to Malaysia and Hong Kong to give trainings on agile management, agile leadership. And there's a big change now where we are working more and more with bigger companies, which of course gives us a bit of has different challenges, obviously, because they're collaborating is a bit different. They have a very traditional mindset, but we're working more and more with bigger companies. At the moment, we worked with a company with 200,000 people, for example, all over the world, not only in Vietnam, right? But we're kind of like training the team here in Vietnam. We worked in the last 10 years with more than 20 companies in Southeast Asia on agile projects, an average maybe 12 to 15 months, right? So kind of like we're not working with them full time. We would say, hey, we have a consultant there full time who is then working on a project. But our approach is more like to say, hey, one day a week, half day a week, depending on the need, maybe 2 days a week, which kind of like gives a lot of the decision making and the change management to the customer themselves, right? Which in the end makes it more sustainable, right? Instead of we are going in trying to change things, but we are also the change agent, would mean they're always depending on us. So our goal is more about helping them to become the change agent themselves, making the transformation, the change management initiative sustainable and independent. With that, I believe when we are leaving a company, we are usually we see already how they can process or progress further with that instead of depending on us.
So you're trying to set them up to be successful and continue on without SEMD Solutions. So like you said, make them sustainable. Very cool.
Yeah.
Can you explain to the audience agile mindset? Like, what does that mean exactly?
Yeah. So the agile mindset, very often people misunderstand that as a process, that they would say, hey, this is just how to set up a process. But while there is a process element to the whole agile mindset, it is based more on values and principles, right? So it comes from the software development, or the agile manifesto comes from the software development. The ideas are actually much older. They go back to Deming and Toyota. and the way of inspect and adapt at that time to the quality management and so on. But it has been developed more into a sense-making mechanism, a way of how people can ask themselves questions on navigating through an environment which is very uncertain. As an example, the current pandemic of the corona, which kind of like more or less weakens in some countries now, but it's still present, but nobody really knows what happens around this or what are the consequences of this corona pandemic, what is happening all over the world, kind of like the whole complexities of the increase of that pandemic are very uncertain. And so with an agile mindset, with a way of how we can actually think differently about these complexities can help us to basically make better decision-making and then increasing our effectiveness, which then in the end also increases our efficiency. Mm-hmm.
And could you maybe give an example of how you've assisted a business here with agile process to kind of improve their bottom line?
Yeah, sure. I was working, for example, with an IT company, which had already introduced some agile ways, but it didn't really work. So they had a defined process based on Scrum. And that was not really kind of like working, because most of the time we're still coming in there with the same mindset of plan and certainty that we need to have our plan and everything carried out. And then you're just running the sprints to execute. But I help them to kind of like have them understand the complexities of their product development, but actually the product is about, and how they can run more experimentation, testing, and then learning from those tests to improve that. And when I came in, for example, they had like 2 weeks iterations in which they should release always like a part of a product, which they never could. And then over time, we helped them actually to, that they had every 2 weeks, they had a meeting with their stakeholders, like the users of the system and customers of the system, of the product, which then helped them to get immediate feedback and improve that product further and further. Yeah. So every 2 weeks, there was kind of like a check-in. So that was one product, yeah. One customer. And I would rather say what I help them is to make understand to make the requirements smaller, right? So this, instead of like thinking, okay, in 3 months we have that big release, we were thinking, okay, we have a 2 week cycle where we would say, hey, we can't move that feedback cycle. We can't move that. Okay, there is a release, whatever happens. So we changed the way thinking. Instead of saying how long does it take us to do feature A, we thought like, okay, we have 2 weeks. How much of feature A can we get done in 2 weeks, right? So it has a lot to do with a lean thinking. As I mentioned before, it comes from Toyota, right? How do we eliminate things which are not needed right now? So that helps in IT and also in non-IT businesses as well, right? Very often we're thinking too much about what is our scope. But technically, when we're thinking into Agile, the most important is that we fix the time, but we don't fix the scope.
Right. Okay. Gotcha. Very cool. Mm-hmm. And can we think maybe like, why did you choose to start your business in Vietnam? You started SIMD Solutions back in 2012. What was the impetus for that?
So I was working already for a company for 4 years as a head of marketing. And that was a software outsourcing company. As mentioned, it's coming a lot from software, the whole agile mindset. And we were using like agile processes and had developed our agile processes, which I then used in my marketing team as well, right? We used also like every 2 weeks we had kind of like a plan with our marketing team, what we're going to do in the next 2 weeks. And then we had a review and a retrospective after 2 weeks. And then we tried to be better and improve our process and improve our outcome, kind of like the delivery of what we did. And kind of like, this is when I fell in that love with Agile, right? So I organized some events here. I connected with some very high level profile people who have kind of are around in the scene for a long time, who came to Vietnam to speak. And then I thought like, yeah, there is a big, I wouldn't say need, but also, of course, also a need, but also a little bit of a desire to for this dynamic Vietnamese market for doing things in a more agile way, right? So it's a very young market in terms of workforce. It's a very emerging market in terms of business, right? So especially at that time, 10 years ago. So yeah, I thought like with an agile mindset, we could help the organizations here to be actually deliver better services to their customers in within Vietnam or outside Vietnam, kind of like gaining a competitive edge. We worked with some kind of like traditional companies, some worldwide operating companies who have their branches here, and worked with them. But it needs to be kind of like a whole, and that's always the struggle we have. It needs to be kind of like a whole organizational thing, right? So we cannot say, hey, you're agile and I'm not agile, right? You do your agile thing, but I kind of like still need my traditional command and control structures, right? And that's sometimes where we say, hey, yeah, we can motivate individuals. We can kind of like help them to get new tools. But if they fit into the old system, right, and the old ways of thinking, kind of like this change is only very local and in the end doesn't really benefit or has the same consequences, right? So either they're a little bit in their bubble, or as soon as they're getting stressed or they're having very traditional KPIs to follow, for example, then they're falling back into the old way of doing things. Yeah. Yeah, so this, we have worked there, but most of the time we are more successful if the organization decided already to say, hey, we need to do it in a more agile way. We need to be resilient in the nowadays more uncertain complex environments. Mm-hmm. It's much kind of like more effective.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. How big is your company, Chris?
We are at the moment only two people working full-time for the company. We do have, though, freelancers. We are getting in our partnerships where we are moving in people where we need them for certain projects, right? If we're having bigger projects to work with.
Let's think, maybe can we talk about advice for foreigners, maybe some lessons learned? Let's talk about lessons learned. So you've been, you know, operating since 2012. You know, it's 10 years, you know, this year. Mm-hmm. What are some major lessons or takeaways you've experienced and learned so far?
Well, I'm coming from a marketing and a little bit tech background, right? So I think the biggest learning was for me the accounting work, right? It's regulations, it's a lot of paperwork thing, it's a lot of bureaucracy to follow, right? So it took us a while to actually develop a good accounting process, which we are still updating from time to time, kind of like from our own point of view and doing that. So I think that's something lesson learned. And then a little bit, there is a cultural factor, right? So the Asian culture, especially Vietnamese culture, is a lot about kind of like losing face and so on, right? So speaking up, being proactive in meetings, for example, in collaboration. And then I'm a little bit the German guy, right? Who kind of like points fingers, and not point fingers to individuals, but point fingers to problems. That's what I'm trying to do at least, which can be kind of like seen as too confrontational. And there were like situations where I afterwards realized I should have maybe not been that direct on pointing that out, which I learned. So kind of like assimilating to the Vietnamese culture, if this is the correct wording, we kind of like see how we can make it work. It's a huge thing, and that's probably also when you're talking about tips and tricks. One of the tips is like, we won't be able to change a culture, right? Because a culture has so many effects from many ways. We need to find a way. How can we make it collaborate with each other and make it work? So when it comes from the accounting side, it's to, I would think, have a really good trusted partner, right? In their companies like yourself, right? Which can help, for example. This is very important that you see someone who has the confidence to know what is going on with bureaucratic laws and laws that know how to handle that partnership. I think is very important, because we cannot understand that. We cannot run that. That's a tip. Maybe others can when they are already accountants, but I cannot understand the depths of all of it until now, right? So having someone who's able to do that is very important. And then, as I mentioned before already, right? So do not try to change a culture, right? Kind of like understand the culture first, be empathetic towards their culture, take it in their culture, and then try to understand what benefits you can get from that culture for your own organization, right? So, and then use the benefits, right? And because you won't be able to, people don't change because we don't tell them to change, right? People change because they see the benefits of the change by themselves, for themselves. And I think this is most important, right? If you're coming in and you're having the way of how you did work or business in another country, that might be just creating frictions. It doesn't invite for collaboration. It kind of like separates you, us versus them. I've seen this a lot, right? That you have at some point a leadership team or management team who are kind of like there and they want to do things in a certain way. And the Vietnamese team is like, yeah, I do what you're telling me, but I'm not doing another step, because it's kind of like there is no way of working together. And that will help a long way, I think, if you're finding for your own business and to, without becoming unauthentic, still being authentic of who you are and what your company stands for, but kind of like trying to make it work, then I think that you can go long ways with that one, I guess. I think that's the two main tips I would say. Then the whole using the agile mindset would also say, Don't land for certainties, because there are no certainties, right? In the whole world. So try to run little experiments, learn from the experiments. Even if you fail, learn from your failure. If you succeed, see what you can even improve from that one. And then try to improve along the way. That does not only count for Vietnam, but I think in a very, very emergent market, dynamic market, in a young market which is even more complex than other markets, I think that could be a key as well.
Mm-hmm. Is that a part of agile management? You're talking about sort of individual employees maybe not showing initiative or waiting for orders step by step. Is that a part of agile management to maybe create a more mission focused team where everybody understands the mission so they can take individual action without necessarily the delay of getting approval or seeking permission? Would that correspond with Agile?
Yes, that would certainly correspond, right? So Agile is based on, I don't want to go into details because then it's becoming a bit complicated, mm-hmm. but it's based on complexity theory, right? And complexity theory and complex adaptive system means that the bigger the team, the less we can control it, because every part of a complex system will always adapt to the changes closest to them, right? Which means that if I understand a part of this, the whole team does not mean I understand the team as a whole, right? And I think that's very important. And that's the whole foundation of Agile, where we would say, hey, that means we need to give more authority to those parts that they're making the right decisions, right? To the best of the company. So, and this has not to do by changing people. This has more to do by setting up the right structures and developing a system which invites for teamwork and not separates individuals, right? As a big example would be having core values as a company saying teamwork, but then paying out individual bonuses, right? This would contradict to each other, because if my bottom line in the end would be to get the bonus, right? And not to work as a team. And I think this is one of the main items as an example to work on. Yeah, so it should be more about the mission. It should be about the structures and the system. And already Edward Deming said late 20s, late 30s of the last, early 1930s, late 1920s said already 94% of the business performance is based on the system and only 6% based on the individual.
Okay, I've been speaking with Chris Krupa from SimD Solutions. Chris, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much for listening. It was a pleasure to be here. So if you see, for example, you have set up already a company in Vietnam and you're struggling with good collaboration, teamworks, or you're struggling with leadership capacities or capabilities, we can help with that. For example, we can help you to, for example, do an assessment first and analyze what could be improved. But we can also help with direct coaching or training on leadership, with individual coaching, group trainings. But also with the team themselves, right? To kind of like help them to make sense of different processes or different ways of working and collaborating together by helping them creating team agreements or helping them to set up like a good meeting process, help them to make meetings more efficiently and effectively. So please get in touch with us.
And if you'd like to reach out to Chris, you can reach him at chris@semdi.vn. That's chris@semdi.vn. This has been episode 10 of Startup Vietnam. I'm your host, Michael Claro. Thank you for listening. This podcast is brought to you by Chikindo. Chikindo is Southeast Asia's leading market entry provider, providing access to over 8 different countries in Asia. If you'd like to find out more about Chikindo, you can visit chikindo.vn. That's chikindo.vn.